Hey y'all, it's A Few Minutes with the Pew podcast. I'm Lily.
And I'm Maddie.
And we have a passion to see people make Jesus number one in their everyday lives.
We want to get serious about being serious for Jesus. Will you join us?
Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. We're really excited to have you here joining us in the studio for another episode. Today we are celebrating Passion Week. Today is one that we are thinking about the week here of what Jesus did and how he did ministry leading up to the cross and what that looked like for him. And it is a very powerful week that we need to be reminded of, that we need to study, and that we need to contemplate as we head up to Easter here. Easter is not just the Easter bunny and picking up some Easter eggs mm-hmm. and all the get-togethers with family and all those things that we're doing. Those are not what it's all about. Those are not necessarily bad things in and of themselves, but they're not things that are what we're truly supposed to be celebrating and what Christ intended for this weekend to be. Mm-hmm. And so we as Christians want to consider really what Jesus did and why it's important to us. How does it impact us in our generation and how we're living today? You guys know we're all about that. We're all about looking at how does Jesus impact our current generation? How does he impact the way that we are living in our day-to-day lives? And if he's not, then maybe we need to reconsider some things. Maybe we need to look at our priorities and see what are we prioritizing? What are we being distracted by? Where are we spending our time the most? And all of those things impact really how we live and the quality of our lives and what we're doing. And so this week, Maddie and I just wanted to quickly remind you guys of how important this week really is mm-hmm. and how life-changing it is. Without this week, we don't have hope. Without this week, we don't have a love that surpasses all understanding. We don't have peace that surpasses all understanding. We don't have any of that if Christ hadn't come and done ministry here for 3 years, died on the cross for our sins, and resurrected 3 days later. That is really what we want to talk about today, and just really thinking about the gravity of that for a second. I think we lose sight of that in our faith today because we talk all the time about the cross and the importance of the resurrection and all these things. Easter can kind of just become like, oh, this is just another thing. Mm-hmm. You know, this is, yes, it's another holiday. It's just something that we're going to celebrate. And it's nothing more than that. It's not life-changing. It's not something that makes us shift our priorities and shift our thinking about, okay, if I haven't been living for Jesus up until this point, how can I do better? How can I really make sure that my relationship with him is one that I prioritize over everything else? Is it truly enough for me? Mm-hmm. So Maddie, start us off. We are starting with looking at one of the blog posts that she wrote actually last year. We posted a blog post every single day last Passion Week. And so we're going to be looking at some of those. And we're hoping this year to be republishing a couple of those as we lead up here to Easter. Not sure exactly what days and all that stuff yet, but be on the lookout for those because we will be definitely putting out some more blog posts than we usually do this week.
Yeah. So today we're going to be looking at, I believe, the very first blog post that I wrote last year for Passion Week. It's called In Need of a Conqueror. I really love this blog post because there was one night where we were actually, just a little backstory of how I wrote this. We were actually sitting in Bible study like the week before we decided to do this Passion Week thing. And, you know, we have Bible studies on Thursdays. And literally, I came up with the idea to do a blog post every day for Passion Week that night, the week before Passion Week, because, you know, that's how we roll here. You guys know that we do not plan things very far in advance. So literally, I was sitting there during Bible study, and Lily might get mad at me for this, but Lily's doing her lesson. It was nothing related to what this blog post is about, not even close.
She never listens to me,
I guess. Can't remember specifically what it was about.
How rude.
Because I was having this moment.
A revelation.
With Jesus. Yeah. And all of this stuff that I include in this blog post and in another of my blog posts was just like filling my mind. And I was sitting there trying not to make it obvious that I was on my phone because I was writing it all down in my notes app real quick. And I don't recommend doing this if you're in a Bible study group. Like, you know, pay attention, folks. But, you know, it was just Lily, so.
She had nothing to do.
But the Lord was really just speaking to me with this blog post in a way that I had not even thought of before. This blog post is specifically about what would be happening today during the Passion Week, which is Jesus' triumphal entry and then coming into the temple and cleansing it. So this is a really, I think, overlooked part of the Passion Week story, but a very important part because him cleansing the temple was a very radical move. It was crazy. So for some background, for those of you who may not be super familiar with Jewish culture, which is essential to understanding the depth of the Passion Week. I think that's another thing that we overlook in our very American view of Christianity. We tend to overlook the Jewish culture a lot and what it would have been like in Jesus' day. Their beliefs, the way things were set up, that kind of thing is so important to know about when you're going into the Passion Week. And that's something that we've been studying a lot this year with our Sunday morning group. And on Wednesday nights, we're really digging into the Jewish culture behind Passion Week. And we've been talking about that for a few weeks now. And this is something in this blog post, as I talk about cleansing the temple, this perspective also requires a bit of understanding about like Greek and Roman mythology, just kind of that time period. Because first off, in Jewish culture, everyone's coming into Jerusalem for the Passover, which is a holiday that is celebrated to commemorate when Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt and for that last plague of all of the firstborn sons being killed. The Jewish people were instructed by Moses, who was instructed by the Lord, to put the blood of lambs on their doorposts so that the angel of death would pass over their houses and their eldest sons would be spared and the Egyptians would be the only ones affected by this plague. So that's what this holiday commemorates and is something that was extremely, extremely important to the Jewish people. Being led out of Egypt was obviously a very pivotal moment for them and was kind of when Israel really like came into their own and became the people group that we know today. So an extremely important holiday and one that the Jews took extremely seriously. So for Passover, typically most of the Jews would come into Jerusalem and would then be cleansed in the temple and would bring a sacrificial lamb with them to be sacrificed. And this was a crazy event in Jerusalem. It's said that so many sheep would be slaughtered during this time that the streets would literally run with blood. So this event was really meant to sear in people's minds the ugliness of their sin, the goodness of God in leading them out of Egypt, and then their unworthiness to really approach him without being cleansed. So this was an event that every good Jew would participate in. And so Jerusalem at this time would have been literally packed full. Like, no more room in the inn this time, for sure. And people are going to be staying with relatives, really packing into their relatives' houses and being super duper tight and just tons of people filling the city, which is already pretty small. So when Jesus comes in, we have his triumphal entry where people are laying down the palm branches, laying down the coats, Hosanna to God in the highest, all of that. We're not going to get into the triumphal entry like crazy today, but that was what led to this point where Jesus then weeps over Jerusalem and then he goes into the temple. And what would have been going on in the temple right now is people are going to be bringing their sacrificial lambs in and they would be inspected for any blemishes, any issues with them, because all of these lambs would have to be perfect. And this also goes back to the Christmas story a little bit. We talked about this around Christmas and had some blog posts about the sacrificial lambs, which the shepherds who had visited Jesus would have been caring for, and how they are wrapped in cloths and kept from any kind of blemishes to their fur, to their skin, no broken bones, would keep them very still for a while until they could be confident that they could walk easily. This is literally what those lambs that those shepherds would have been taking care of were raised for. So every year, hundreds and hundreds of these lambs would be sacrificed. However, there was this kind of racket going on in the temple where a lot of the religious leaders would be inspecting these lambs and would come up with some excuse for why this lamb that this person had brought in had already bought or raised themselves, why that was not acceptable. Oh, it's got a blemish here. Well, it looks like it could have broken a bone at some point, you know, blah, 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 blah. How about you go over to this other booth and buy a lamb from here? These are like the temple approved lambs that are for sure good and, you know, no blemishes.
Does this remind anyone of like the government?
Slightly. It was definitely a huge racket going on here, because then they would take that lamb that they have just said is impure and they would take it over to that other booth and then sell it to the next person that they tell their lamb is impure. Mm-hmm. So it was just this whole cycle of these people, these Jews that are coming in, being completely ripped off, and the religious leaders making a pretty penny because there is the temple tax, and then you obviously have to pay for a new lamb, and they're basically getting all their lambs for free because they're just taking it from you and then selling you someone else's.
Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing about this is that the people know this.
Yeah.
The people are not stupid. They're not dumb. They recognize, they're standing there while they sell the next person the lamb that they just were told was impure. And so I think that one of the things we need to recognize here is that the people are tired of this, right?
Yeah.
They are extremely discouraged over the fact that they know when they come up, they're going to be told that their lamb is impure.
Yeah.
They know that this is how this works. They know that this is going to cost them an additional cost. They know this stuff, and yet they're sick of it and can't do anything about it.
Except they're also stuck in this kind of complacency, because you see that none of them are rising up against this and saying, this isn't right. You just told me that that one was impure.
Right.
And now you're selling me the lamb that you just told the person in front of me could not be sacrificed. How is this? Yeah, they knew everything that was going on, and yet they were also overcome with this kind of complacency, which had been present for a very, very long time prior to this particular Passover, where Jesus comes in and cleanses the temple. So that is the main reason that Jesus comes in to cleanse the temple, is that these people are using the house of the Lord to make money and to lie and to cheat people and to steal. And, you know, it literally is that den of robbers, like Jesus refers to it. So that's why Jesus is coming into the temple. He's looking at this. Jesus has seen all of this before, you know, like when Mary and Joseph lose him when he is 12, this is why, this is where they would have been traveling. They all would have been traveling to Jerusalem for Passover. They would have had their own lambs that probably would have been called impure, and then they would have to buy a new one and, you know, blah, 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 blah. So Jesus has experienced this before every year, yet now he is choosing to kind of come into his own as Messiah, as Savior, as King. And a lot of people, this is why I'm not quite sure why so many people overlook the cleansing of the temple and don't really dig into it, because this is extremely important. Because I think that a lot of us focus on the triumphal entry, which is also extremely important, and Jesus coming in riding on a donkey, which is not what people would have expected for a coming king, a king that would be conquering Rome in this particular setting. They would not have expected a donkey, a sign of peace and not of a conquering king. Yet then they are kind of, they're confused at first. They're like, this is not how we thought it would go. The disciples didn't think this is how it would go. And so it shows this very calm and non-threatening side of Jesus, kind of, which is not what the Jewish people wanted. Those who were following him would have wanted him to come riding in on this tall stallion and just like rush right into Pilate's home and be like, you're done. And we are taking back the city. We're taking back Israel, and we're going to defeat Rome. So that is not the message that Jesus is sending with this. However, I think we get too caught up on, oh, well, Jesus isn't showing his kingship very much in the triumphal entry. And then we skip past the cleansing of the temple, which is where he really shows his kingly attributes. And this is where a little bit of knowledge of kind of Roman mythology, Greek mythology comes in. So I have been doing a lot of Greek and Roman mythology reading and studying for the last couple years. And I had just finished reading the Aeneid when I wrote this blog post. And that is the mythological story of how Rome came to be. And so in this particular story, you're kind of following Aeneas, who is the founder of Rome. And you see Troy, where he was originally from, from is being completely taken over. And, you know, we've got the Trojan horse and all of that that we, most of us would know about at least a little bit. So in the story of the Aeneid, it starts with this battle taking place. And you see that Aeneas and a lot of his friends, a lot of his warriors that are under his command, are all fighting this enemy fearlessly and desperately, because this enemy is coming closer and closer and closer to the center of the city where the temple would have been. Mm-hmm. This is extremely important, because when someone was being conquered in this time period, the most important part was not simply that they breached the city gates, that they are inside the city. If they got to the temple and could take over the temple, the city was lost. They were conquered. There was nothing anybody could do about it. So that was always the main focus of the enemy, was get to the temple. Don't just go in and spread out and just fight your way through the entire city. Get to the temple. That would have been the main job, especially of the highest commanding officer. And then the soldiers who are actually fighting are clearing the way so that he can get to the temple. So this is so important in this story, because then we see Jesus does not come in with warriors all around him making room for him to get in. He's got all of this support already. Mm-hmm. However, he had support when the people thought that he was going to do what they wanted him to do. Then when he goes into the temple, he obviously offends the religious leaders like crazy, calling them, you know, all kinds of names and calling out their bad behavior, their sin, mm-hmm. and the way that they're abusing their position, abusing the Jews who are coming in to sacrifice to be cleansed, and abusing the temple first and foremost. So this is vitally important, because the people in this Jewish culture would have known stories like that. Rome, especially, would have known stories like this. Mm-hmm. They would have known, if someone comes in here and they get to the temple, we're done. We're conquered. Mm-hmm. So Jesus coming in and literally taking over the temple, flipping the tables, driving people out. And then on Tuesday, he is literally in the temple most of the day, teaching and debating people and literally running the temple in the way that it's meant to be run, as a place of public discourse and glorification of God. So I think that it's just, honestly, it's a travesty that we skip over that part so easily, because we simply don't understand it, because we don't understand the Jewish culture, and then we also don't understand the Roman culture. Mm-hmm. So not only would this have been sending a message to Rome of, okay, this guy
is kind of serious,
claims to be king already, yeah. and we know that he's already made the Jewish leaders upset, but he's never done anything to irk us, to make us mad, to feel threatened by him. But dang, he just conquered these Jews. Mm-hmm. Like, he just fully took over the most important part of their city. Mm-hmm. And for the Jews, they also would have known these stories, would have known how pivotal this moment was, and would have understood, we just got conquered. Like, he just took over the temple, mm-hmm. which means he took over the city. Mm-hmm. And I think this is obviously where the Jewish leaders are like, okay, this is the last straw. He just messed up our entire system. Mm-hmm. He messed up our entire money-making system. He messed up our reputations, because we know that the people are already thinking all of this stuff about us, but he just came out and said it mm-hmm. and threw us out of there, threw us out of our house, because that's really the way that they were viewing it at this time, as mm-hmm. their place of authority, their place of employment. Wow. Like, he just made a statement with that. Mm-hmm. So I think this is something that a lot of us should be considering as we go into Passion Week, because we tend to focus a lot on the triumphal entry and, oh, he didn't do it the way that everyone thought he would. And that's not really like the attitude of a king. Yet then we skip over the cleansing of the temple, which is 100% the attitude and the actions of a king. Mm-hmm. Because whoever conquers that city, whoever gets to that temple, that commanding officer that goes in there, done. They're in mm-hmm. charge of the city. They rule this area. I think that is just, it's honestly so cool to me. And it has changed the Passion Week for me a lot, because I never realized that until last year and how significant that was.
Mm-hmm. And I think to apply this to our lives this week, as we are embracing the Passion Week and thinking about all of the things that Jesus did then, how does this impact us, right? I started mm-hmm. with that. How does this impact us? And I think that one of the questions that we need to consider is, are we in need of a conqueror ourselves? are we in need of someone to come and conquer us, conquer our souls, conquer our flesh and our worldly desires, and replace it with something good, with something mm-hmm. holy? And I think that that is obviously the answer to that question is yes, absolutely. Yeah. We are in need of a conqueror. Even if you have been saved for a long time, perhaps this is a week where you need to get serious about Jesus again. Maybe this week is one that you need to be contemplating the things of Christ. Mm-hmm. Maybe one where you need to be revived a little bit in your faith because you've started to get complacent, just like the Jewish people were. They were complacent. They knew that what they were surrounded by and what they were doing in the system, and they knew that all of these things were wrong. They were not blinded to this. However, they weren't willing to do anything about it. They were willing to stay comfortable. They were willing to just keep the peace because they knew that it would be a problem if they said anything or did anything about it. And Jesus comes in and he rebukes them for taking something that was the Lord's and for using it in evil ways and for evil purposes. And this is what they needed to do all along. They were God's chosen people, right? Mm-hmm. This is their responsibility. This is their responsibility to keep the temple pure and clean and holy for the Lord and set apart. And even scripture tells us holiness unto the Lord is what he called his people to. Over and over again in the Old Testament, we see that. And yet they had let it become something so evil and something so sinful that it was just full of this and full of that sinful aroma, and nobody was willing to do anything about it. They were just willing to let it go on. Mm-hmm. And Jesus comes in and he's not letting this continue. Yeah. He's not willing to let his father's house be used in this way. And I think that this is something that we need to recognize in our own lives. This is what's happening in our churches today. This is what's happening all around us in spiritual things, in our own hearts, in our own lives, in our own homes. We are allowing ourselves in our homes and our churches to be filled with evil things and to not be set apart unto the Lord, to not be holy unto the Lord. And we are pretending, just like the Jewish people did, that, oh, we're all cleaned up, right? We'll do our sacrifices. We'll look great. But in reality, we're just like the fig tree that Jesus cursed and made wither. We look good on the outside, but we're really dead on the inside. We're not producing anything that's valuable. We're not recognizing that we are in need of a conqueror and we are in need of Jesus to be that conqueror. We need someone to come in and to change everything for us. And we can't do that on our own, right? We cannot handle our sin problem on our own. We are not capable of that. But because of the cross, because of this week that we are currently celebrating and in, we have hope. We have the Holy Spirit to come and help us be holy again. And this is the whole point of the Passion Week. The whole point is Jesus coming to save us from our sin, to cleanse us from everything that has made us unclean on his terms. And I think that that is the most important point here is the people are expecting, just like Maddie said, they're expecting this conquering king, right? They're expecting mm-hmm. this guy who's going to come in on a stallion and who's going to just wreck everything and throw everybody out and it's going to be amazing and take over Rome and it's going to be awesome, right? That's what they're thinking. They're thinking full rebellion, revolution here. And that's not what Jesus comes to do. That is not how he planned it. And yet his plan is so much better than anything they had expected. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is the very same truth that we need to grab hold of today. Sometimes we expect Jesus to do things on our terms. Oftentimes, I would say most of the time, we expect him to do things on our terms. And what he's asking of us is, will you just surrender? Will you just surrender yourself fully to me and let me do what I need to do here to be your conquering king? And it's not going to look how you expect. And it's not going to feel how you want it to feel.
Yeah.
But it's going to be what you need. And I think that if we got hold of that, we would see something amazing happen in our churches and our homes and our lives this Easter season.
Okay. We hope that you guys enjoyed this episode, that it kind of got you prepared for Easter in a way that you may not have been prepared before listening to this episode, that it was an encouragement to you, that maybe you learned something, because this is definitely something that is still new to me. We were just talking about this specific event this morning. We're recording this on Sunday. We're a little bit later than usual. And we were talking about it this morning in our small group, and I was just reminded of this blog post, and I was like, man, That is crazy. It's crazy how Jesus had everything so planned out, so perfect. The imagery and the underlying knowledge that the Jewish people would have had and the underlying messages of his actions are all so important. And it's something that we miss a lot in the American church. So be sure to check out the blog this week for those new blog posts that are going to be coming to you. You can read them all for free on the blog. We want you guys to have full access to those as something to continue preparing you for Easter. Just like we do before Christmas with Blogmas, we always want to have our hearts prepared for these extremely important holidays. And we want to make sure that we all have our hearts and minds in the right place for this stuff. So we're going to wrap this episode up in prayer. So please pray with us. Lord, we just thank you for this day, and I just thank you for giving us the opportunity to sit down and be reminded of the various things that you did in the Passion Week and this extraordinary plan that you had leading up to Jesus' death and resurrection. And I pray that you would just help each and every one of us to keep our focus on that this Easter season, that we would be completely focused on you and what you've done for us and what you've saved us from. And I pray that we would be open to being conquered, that we would allow you to come into our temple and to clear it out, to flip tables and to drive out the things that are not meant to be there. I pray that you would just cleanse us, that you would make us pure, and that you would strengthen our relationship with you this week and in the weeks to come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us. We pray that this is a week full of the Lord's presence in your life, and that this is a week that you contemplate the word of the Lord and that you really get serious about living for him in your everyday life. So thank you guys so much for joining us. Be sure to download this episode, and we will talk to y'all next Monday. Bye, guys.